This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Another major snowstorm impacting the United States, this time almost every state east of the Mississippi River. Over 1,000 air flights have been canceled because of it, most of them in and out of Washington, Baltimore, Chicago, and Philadelphia. Southwest Airlines canceling almost 300 flights itself. As the weather's added on to issues the carrier's been having with high numbers of aircraft being out of service because of mechanical issues. President Trump again going after the New York Times over a new report, as he tweets this morning that the Times reporting is false, calling the newspaper, quote, a true enemy of the people. Those words in caps. The report claims Trump asked former Acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker if a change could be made in the investigation into his former lawyer Michael Cohen. And this is USA Radio News.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-B-I-B-L-E, 833-34-BIBLE.
Russia's president delivering an annual address to his nation, but it includes a loud warning for the United States following its pullout from a Cold War-era nuclear arms treaty. Here's Putin speaking through a translator.
We are not interested in confrontation, and we do not want it, let alone confrontation with such a global power like the United States of America. But it looks like our partners do not see how and at what pace the world is changing and in which direction it is going. They continue their destructive and obviously wrongful politics.
Putin also claiming in his speech that Russia has a new hypersonic missile that can fly at 9 times the speed of sound. A New York subway rider is killed when his shoulder bag gets caught in a moving train in midtown Manhattan last night. The 39-year-old man was dragged off the platform onto the tracks and into an electrical control box. Google admits it should have told customers its Nest secure home security system has a built-in microphone. And this is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
PETA is catching a lot of heat for a tweet it sends out that appears to celebrate the death of fashion designer Karl Lagerfeld. The animal rights group posting the tweet yesterday, less than an hour after the 85-year-old German designer's death, PETA founder Ingrid Newkirk tweeting, "Karl Lagerfeld has gone, and his passing marks the end of an era when fur and exotic skins were seen as covetable. PETA sends condolences to our old nemesis's loved ones." End quote. People on social media accusing PETA of being cold, disrespectful, and cruel. Just after the death of the sailor photographed kissing a woman in Times Square at the end of World War II, someone vandalizes a statue commemorating that iconic photograph, as we hear from USA Radio's Wendy King.
Only 2 days after George Mendoza died in Rhode Island, Sarasota police say they're looking for whoever spray-painted the words "Me Too" on the left leg of the nurse he was shown kissing. The statue exactly recreates the moment in Times Square. Investigators say there were no witnesses or any surveillance video. The kiss itself was a spontaneous act that celebrated the end of the war. The statue has been a Sarasota landmark for a decade. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
Hey, welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, as we continue to do everything we can to get this country back on track. We've got a country to save here, and it requires all hands on deck. With us right now is Mark Hancock. He's the CEO of Trail Life USA. Mark, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Well, good to have you here. First of all, tell our audience, the mission of Trail Life USA.
Well, Trail Life USA is a five-year-old organization. We're a Christ-centered, boy-focused, outdoor adventure, character, and leadership organization for boys. We're organized through churches. We're in 800 churches. We have members in all 50 states, about 28,000 members across the country. So we're kind of organized in the wake of some changes that the Boy Scouts of America was making, and we've seen some rapid growth in the last couple of years.
Well, and you've seen this on the horizon even before the last 5 years in particular, probably the last 5 years just reaffirmed that the mission that God had put you on, this was a confirmation of why Trail Life USA is needed.
It really was. You know, for a long time, boys have needed attention. You know, we spent a lot of time in the 90s correcting things for girls and did a great job of leading them along in science and technology and math and some skills that they had fallen behind in. But what we weren't paying attention to at the time is that boys were falling behind in language skills and in social skills. Mm-hmm. We put all the effort into designing our schools and our settings for girls, and somehow boys got neglected in the process, and now they are lagging behind girls in every single academic category. And so Trail Life USA was founded to focus on boys. That's our focus. That's who we care about. That we recognize they need a different learning environment. They need different challenges. They need a different setting to learn in, because they do learn differently than girls. So we are focused on getting boys what they need in order to be winning and focused men.
Well, Mark, you address some unintended consequences of the government coming in and trying to find a one-size-fits-all, because that's what the government, that's how they default. You know, they default into this mindset that one-size-fits-all. But, oh, go figure, there is a difference in the sexes and how boys learn and how girls learn. And so during this period of time, as the government steps in and they're mandating all these educational procedures and everything, their answer was, well, the boys must be mental, so let's drug them up.
Yeah, and that's really tragic, because it's like we're treating boyhood as some sort of social disease that needs
exactly.
to be eradicated. But in Trail Life, we treat boyhood as a wonderful thing, you know, the things that are different about boys and girls prepares them to serve our society, different strengths that they have. We definitely recognize that girls are different from boys. I know that's politically incorrect, but every science, every psychology, every field of science that looks at it tells you that's true biologically, psychologically. Even any engaged teacher or any good parent recognizes that boys and girls are different. You know, biologically, the girls hear 10 times better than boys. Boys have more rods and cones in their eyes than girls, and so they're distracted by different things. And we look at those kind of physiological differences, and we apply labels like ADHD to them or something like that. We realize that that's just boys being boys. And it's tragic that we have adjusted our ADHD diagnosis to a bulleted list of things that you just used to be what we call boys. You'll find right. in the official list of ADHD things like running and climbing when they're not supposed to, or talking when they're not supposed to be talking. Well, that's boys, you know.
Yeah. Right.
We're boys all the time. They just do that. That's not a diagnosis. That's being a boy.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the thing is, Mark, this is a byproduct of, you know, a culture that says, you know, what God said doesn't matter. You know, and so, you know, you have a choice. You know, do you listen to the creator of the universe and the creator of man? And with that, you even consider the empirical evidence of thousands of years through the ages that support nature's laws and the laws of God. And you abandon that for a sake of some credentialed, you know, psychiatrist and other, you know, self-appointed wise counselors for education. And you choose their way and you abandon God's way. And I mean, it's like, how much further do we have to go down this road of destruction to realize that, you know, what God said he meant? And, okay, you know, go ahead and debate these issues, but I'll put up my God against your philosophy any day, and I'll prove, you know, by the empirical evidence that you're wrong.
Yeah,
and I know that's not politically correct to say, but the fact of the matter is, Mark, what we've been saying is that, look, the silent majority has got to speak up. You know, you cannot be ashamed of God. You can't be ashamed of the things that you believe in, because they are what make the difference in your life. And, you know, here on this show, we reserve space for people to speak their heart and passion and to speak their experience. You know, and we're not claiming perfection by no means. I mean, we know this. We're grateful for God's grace and mercy and forgiveness as we go through this life. But meanwhile, we have learned valuable things that even in the history of man, we look back and see time and again when there are major changes that are required in the culture, it is the people of faith that are the vanguard to that change.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, I also have, I mean, my degrees are in mental health counseling, counseling psychology. I have a number of graduate degrees in that area. And I can tell you that the APA is wrong in their diagnosis on what it is that they're saying that men need. Boys and men are different than women. And we need programs that serve them in an environment that recognizes that they have
right.
unique learning styles. You know, it's not a social construct that boys' brains are different than girls' brains. It's not a social construct that they develop differently, that girls develop more quickly, even their physical development than boys. That's biological. That isn't
yes.
a social construct that says, oh, look, girls are doing this on their own because boys are whatever. It's not a social construct that their eyes are constructed different, that their ears are constructed different. You know, they're built that way by their creator for the strengths and the abilities that they would need in order to contribute to a society. So
mm-hmm.
you're absolutely right. And we, and as Trellis USA, we're brave enough to stand up to that in this environment and say, wait a minute, you guys are wrong. Boys and girls are different. They need programs that are focused on them in order to be winning and focused young men and young women. We can't just throw them into a room and tell them that they're exactly the same, because they're not.
Exactly.
You know, I've got two boys, and I know when they're 7 or 8 years old, seven and nine, David came to me and said, "Dad, can I go get a drink of water from that water fountain?" My yes was firing a starting pistol. They're running. They're gone. Girls don't behave that way. They're just different, and that's not a social construct.
Exactly. Well, Mark, could you imagine, you know, I thought for a moment as you were, you know, going down your list of credentials, that if you were stuck in the world of academia and political correctness, you would be absolutely brain damaged and frustrated right now, because you'd have to be preaching something that you have little belief in. And this is what academia and our culture has turned to. So thank God for all the great work that you're doing with Trail Life USA and allowing for an alternative to, sadly, what is becoming the traditions of our country. Mark Hancock is with us. Our conversation will continue. I'm Bill Martinez. It's 15 minutes after the top of the hour.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. Call right now before it's too late. 800-213-9264.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at readytoeatbacon.com. Readytoeatbacon.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Oregon, and SoCal to Florida. Bill Martinez live.
I know when you think about, you know, what we're faced with in our country, that it may seem like mission impossible, but it just takes one activated citizen at a time. That's the way it happened with our founding. It wasn't like all of a sudden there was 100% agreement. We look over our culture today and our government and we say, gosh, we're missing the point here. And along the way are unintended consequences. There are impacts, on everybody. This isn't a Democratic thing, a Republic thing. We're all affected by it. Mark Hancock is with us. He's the chief executive of Trail Life for USA. And what we're talking about is the unintended consequences of all this gender, whatever you want to call it, confusion, discombobulation, everything that's going on, and a misunderstanding of who boys are and who girls are. And Mark, as if that's not enough, you bring in this gender confusion. I just got back from California, and I think there's some universities there that now in choice of gender, you've got like 26, 36 different options. It's no longer male, female. Well, in that expanse of all these options, is it any wonder that the genders are going to be confused?
Yeah, and you got to look at the effect on kids. And it seems like over the last 50 years, we've made some cultural decisions, and nobody was asking, well, what about the kids?
Yes.
We talk about abortion. We talk about changing the definition of marriage. We talk about the sexual revolution. Nobody was thinking, what's the effect on kids? And I like to think of boys as the canary in the coal mine. You know how they take the canaries into the coal mine?
Uh-huh.
And boys are struggling in our culture. They're like the canaries in our culture. And they're, like I said, they are lagging behind girls in every academic category. They're twice as likely to be declared special education, three times more likely to be declared ADHD. They are falling behind in every measurement. There's fewer of them going to college. There's fewer of them getting degrees than ever in the past. There are more young men living at home since the census started counting that in 1960, this failure launch thing.
Yes.
Boys are losing out. They're not developing as strong, capable men because we're not letting them be fully boys, and we're not defining these lines for them and the confusion that we're bringing on them. No wonder they're lagging. If we teach children that they're nothing but a great cosmic accident, if we teach them that there's no absolutes, even along the lines of something as clear as biological sex, if we teach them that there's no justice or ultimately no justice or punishment, no final judgment or behavior, no right or wrong, then we shouldn't act surprised when they act in accordance to our teaching. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing so many lines being blurred, and kids, particularly boys, love clear boundaries. They like to know who's in charge, who's with me, and what is our mission. And if we're not defining those things, particularly for boys, then they're going to act in ways that look like rebellion or apathy. So in Trail Life USA, we're committed to answering those questions.
Mm-hmm.
Who's in charge? Well, you have an adult in the room, and they're in charge, or you're leading your patrol, or you're in charge of your group that you're taking on the hike. Who's with me? Well, these guys wearing the uniform, these other trailmen, Trail Life USA, these 28,000 brothers of yours, they're with you. We're committed to the same sort of mission. And what's our mission? We're constantly giving them things to succeed at. Rather than participation trophies, we're giving them opportunities to succeed, drawing nice black and white guidelines for them, and they are thriving, and we're growing very quickly.
Well, and it's amazing with that kind of evidence, Mark, that you are demonstrating to the culture right now that that this system is broken. First of all, it's a fixed system that's unfair for boys. I mean, we talk about social justice and, things that are happening, but we're overlooking something as grievous as what's happening to everybody's son and eventually to their daughters. This is Dr. Warren Farrell, who wrote The Boy Crisis, and Andrew Yarrow, who has also, written a book about what's going on here with the boys in America. They both realize they have daughters, and they go, God, who are our daughters going to marry if the boys, if the pull for future husbands is poisoned? What kind of son-in-law do I have to look forward to here?
Yeah, it's really a tragic situation for them because the schools are built for girls. Sit down, be quiet, listen to the person up front. That's a girl environment. Boys need to move. They need motion. They need activity. It increases their blood flow. Harvard researchers will tell you that they need movement in order to learn. They know that intuitively. That's why they're fidgeting in their seat. They're telling you, I've got to move if you're teaching me something. And we're punishing them for that kind of behavior. We're giving them participation trophies and not challenging to win and to take chances. And so the only places they can do that is they move to their virtual video game world. And they're winning, they're getting levels, and they're progressing. And then we criticize them for playing too much there. So boys can't even win from winning, no matter where it is that they go. We're surrounding them with a culture that doesn't reward their risk and competitiveness, which is hardwired into them. One of the most classic quotes I heard, Bill, is when Boy Scouts began allowing girls into the troops, as I heard a troop leader quote in a newspaper article saying, we love having girls in the troop because they're so much smarter and better behaved.
Oh, wow.
Now, you send boys into that environment to see how long they're going to stay there.
No, that's done.
It's going to be just like school. You know,
right.
You're right. I can't sit still. I can't do this. I can't perform. I don't know the rules. I'm not built for this. Mm-hmm. And it's tragic what we're doing to boys today.
Well, the identification that's placed on them, Mark, is deep. And now you've raised a generation of boys that think of themselves as less than instead of, you know, something that's consistent with their design, as you shared earlier when you talk about the difference of boys and girls. And what I immediately went to is how they complement one another. You know, when I built sales teams in Southern California for many years, one of the things I looked at was, you know, and I shared with everybody is, look, we're not fooling anybody here. We know your weaknesses. You don't have to tell us that. Okay. And we know your strengths. The opportunity is, can we hold to an environment that is vulnerable enough to where we can share our strengths and weaknesses with one another so that you become better sales, I become better at management, it's your strength against my weakness, my strength against your weakness that elevates each of us. And this is the opportunity, and this was the intended design by God, is that the sexes would complement. And that complement is a completion of the other. And when we divide and in a sense conquer, all for the sake of the feminist movement, just to say, oh, women are breaking the ceiling. I don't know what kind of ceiling they're trying to break here. It's a perceived ceiling in their own mind, because I see a lot of women who have been successful. And they've been successful without abandoning their identity. And that's, you know, to me, that's the kind of woman that we should celebrate, in the same case as we should celebrate men and that hold to their identity, their God-given identity, not the identity that's been hoisted upon them by the culture.
Absolutely. He built us to be collaborative. And
yes.
And there's beauty in that, and recognizing the strengths instead of trying to deny that there are these strengths that women have that are unique to women, these strengths that men have that are unique to men. And when we get on the same page and recognize that's not a detriment to the other sex, it's a good thing to have that,
right,
that to draw on. And that's what we're trying to teach boys in Trail Life USA. We don't have to teach them, don't beat up women, don't rape women, don't be mean to women.
Right.
We teach them that women are valuable, that women have worth, that women are to be respected and cared for and nurtured and encouraged.
Right.
And that's a much higher road to take than this other one where we're declaring them a toxic masculinity just because the equipment they have when they were biologically birthed.
Yes. Well, Mark, the job that you're doing with the thousands of other Trail Life USA young men, realizing that they have a brother who stands with them, you know, across this country. What other opportunities are out there, you know, for these young boys that are being identified falsely in the traditions of our current culture?
We believe Trail Life USA is uniquely positioned in our culture right now. We are unapologetically Christian. We are boy-focused. We are not going to lose those moorings. We recognize already that it's countercultural, that there's going to be people who don't like us because of what it is that we do. But we think that boys are important enough and that women who are looking for mature, focused, winning men to marry are going to benefit from
it. Without a doubt. Mark, we got to wrap it up. So real quick, where can I go for more information? Got about 5 seconds.
TrailLifeUSA.com.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call N-O-W.
800-485-2167. 800-485-2167. 800-485-2167. That's 800-485-2167.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Another major snowstorm impacting the United States, this time almost every state east of the Mississippi River. Over 1,000 air flights have been canceled because of it, most of them in and out of Washington, Baltimore, Chicago, and Philadelphia. Southwest Airlines canceling almost 300 flights itself. As the weather's added on to issues the carrier's been having with high numbers of aircraft being out of service because of mechanical issues. President Trump again going after the New York Times over a new report, as he tweets this morning that the Times reporting is false, calling the newspaper, quote, a true enemy of the people. Those words in caps. The report claims Trump asked former Acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker if a change could be made in the investigation into his former lawyer Michael Cohen. And this is USA Radio News.
Step up your style with some of our best savings on quality flooring at Lumber Liquidators. Save 15% on all premium Bellawood hardwood floors from only $3.99 a square foot. Or save 15% on our best bamboo Morningstar Ultra. And let our professional installation team do the work for you. Plus, special financing helps make your tax refund go even further. Visit LumberLiquidators.com for a store near you. Lumber Liquidators. Beautiful floors for less.
Cars that sound like this. Trust Pennzoil Synthetics to protect their engines in extreme conditions. Top racing teams know that Pennzoil Synthetics give them the performance to help them succeed. And your car's engine deserves the same. Because your daily commute is no less important. Get complete protection for top engine performance just like the pros. Go to Pennzoil.com/oil change offer to save. Terms apply.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live. Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, it's just for you. Hey, after all, this is a government of, for, by, and we the people. And there is a call now that we the people stand up against, these things that want to take our government down and want to destroy this great American experiment. Yes, it's right before your eyes. Your eyes are not lying to you, ladies and gentlemen. You're seeing it for what it is. I just hope that you have the wisdom and the eyes to see how this is encroaching upon our freedoms. It's just about 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Clint Johnson is joining us now. He's a native of Fish Branch, Florida. And I live in Florida. I've never been to Fish Branch, so I'm certainly missing out on something. He is a history writer living in the mountains of North Carolina with his wife, Barb. He has written more than a dozen books on American history, with one foray into history and politics in the Politically Incorrect Guide to the South. You can find out more about Clint at ClintJohnsonBooks.com. Clint, welcome to the show. How are you?
Well, thanks for having me, Bill. Fish Branch is in Hardee County, which I went to school in DeSoto County, and we lived in Hardee County. That's about 50 miles east of Sarasota.
Okay, so it's on the west. That's probably why.
It's in the center of the state.
Oh, more in the center. Okay. For me, anything that's not on the coast. Coast is west. I've only been in Florida for 4 years, so it's still an adventure, and we're still learning. So thank you for sharing that. Now you are drawing me to Fish Branch just to say, hey, I've been there. So the next time we talk, I can tell you. Hey, I've checked it out personally, you know.
Well, please do. It's an unmapped farming community. I grew up on a cattle and orange farm, and just as you've been talking about, that was when Florida was real Florida and when Americans were real Americans. So it was a good experience growing up.
Well, Clint, I can't thank you enough for the book. Clint's written a new book. It's called Tin Cans and Greyhounds, The Destroyers That Won Two World Wars. Tom Hanks is going to be, he's doing a movie that'll be released in 2020 on this very story. And this is excellent for those of us who plan to see this movie. Your book is excellent background. And will give us more information than the movie will, and it'll really add some life to the movie, won't it?
Well, I think so. Hanks's book or movie is going to be based on a C.S.S. Forrester book about a destroyers escorting convoys across the Atlantic. Mm-hmm. And I deal with that in Tin Cans and Greyhounds about how when the war started in 42, the U-boats were really tearing apart our convoys, and these destroyers and later destroyer escorts starting in 1943 started figuring out how to find them and sink them. And by the end of the war, the U-boats weren't even coming out of port because they knew that even going into the vast Atlantic, the U.S. Navy and the British Navy were finding them and sinking them. It was an incredible story of how technology really was developed so quickly in World
exactly.
War II.
Exactly. I was going to say, because the U-boats were having their way, were they not?
They had their way with the convoys right up through May of 1943, and then they started losing. We lost one destroyer in the United States coastal waters in February of 1942. That was the USS Jacob Jones off of Cape May, New Jersey. And so they started hitting us pretty early, and we lost several destroyers and destroyer escorts escorting these convoys across, but eventually the United States just overwhelmed the U-boats.
This story of Tin Cans and Greyhounds, how did this come to you? What just captured your imagination? You said, I've got to write this book.
Well, I was looking for something new. I said, I've been writing a lot of Civil War books through the years, and I stumbled across the story of this Jacob Jones. But the first Jacob Jones was sunk in World War One off the coast of England by a U-boat, the only warship we lost in World War One. And they replaced it with the second Jacob Jones, which was the only warship we lost in coastal American waters in World War II.
Probably a bad name. We don't have another Jacob Jones out there in the fleet now, right? Did they stop?
They have stopped naming ships the Jacob Jones, but there were actually several that namesakes that went down like that. The USS Meredith went down the Pacific, and then its replacement went down at the Atlantic during D-Day. So it wasn't for you. Did not want to be sailing on the Jacob Jones, and I don't think they've replaced the Meredith or the Jacob Jones since then. But that's what got me interested. I wanted to look at the coincidences of that, and then I just decided there really wasn't enough there for a book, so I went ahead and did a book on all the destroyers from United States, Great Britain, Germany, and Japan during from the time they were first invented in 1874 through the end of World War II.
Mm-hmm. Well, you say that these destroyers won two world wars. So as you broadened your perspective on this and went a little bit deeper, you're going, whoa, there's you know, some information to be mined here.
Right. We always talk about how Japan attacked our fleet at Pearl Harbor. Mm-hmm. And they really attacked. Their main focus was pre-World War I built battleships. Battleships were really archaic and obsolete by that time. I looked into it, and the battleships that were refloated after Pearl Harbor won only 32 battle stars, which means they engaged the enemy 32 times. There were 50 destroyers at Pearl Harbor, and they engaged the Army or the Japanese Navy 438 times. And so I make the case the Japanese really attacked the wrong ships at Pearl Harbor. They should have been trying to destroy all the destroyers and leaving those ancient battleships right where they lay.
Well, explain to our audience the difference between a destroyer and a battleship.
Well, a battleship is about three times as large as a destroyer. Its guns go up to about 14 inches, 16 inches in circumference, and it has armor plating around its hull of about 13 inches thick. A destroyer is about one-third that size. Its hull is only 5/8 of an inch thick, and its guns are no bigger than 5-inch guns. But it does carry torpedoes on it, which battleships didn't have. So a destroyer was really kind of developed as a it was developed to carry the torpedo. By the time World War II came along, it escorted the cruisers of the battleships and the aircraft carriers, and then it was principally to sink submarines. No other ship was good enough to sink a submarine other than a destroyer. But during World War II, they also formed them into their own fighting units where they would attack the enemy principally at night. They're using radar. They'd figure out where the Japanese were. The Japanese did not carry radar. We would fire torpedoes, wait to see if any of them hit, then attack with our cannons, and then get the hell out of there. Turn around and get out as quickly as you could.
Exactly.
Because if you were going up against Japanese battleships and cruisers, their guns were three times your size. Mm-hmm. And so a shell hit could sink a destroyer because it simply was unarmored compared to a cruiser or battleship.
Yeah, you talk about it. That's why they were called tin cans, right? Because of their thin metal hulls.
Sailors just kind of gave them that. Says it's not a whole lot thicker than the tin cans you're pouring soup from. And the British called them greyhounds of the sea because they're so graceful looking, and they could go about 38 knots, which is about 42 miles per hour. And they could turn, and they just look so graceful when they're going at high speeds. So that's where the greyhounds came from.
Well, Clint, when the Pacific Fleet was attacked at Pearl Harbor, and then there was a call by the president to, you know, we got to build ships. You know, and at that time, you know, it took years. It took more than a year to build a ship, and now we went on a month schedule. It's incredible. It speaks of the, you know, the innovation and, you know, just the productivity commitment of American citizens, you know, when we were brought into the war and we had to replenish that fleet. Was there more of a concentration on destroyers than battleships in the rebuilding of the Pacific Fleet?
Oh, yeah, there was only a handful of battleships that were constructed anytime that were under construction when Pearl Harbor came along. USS North Carolina, which is on display down in Wilmington, North Carolina, was the most modern one, and it was started to be built in the 1930s. They did not build any more battleships after that, but we started building destroyers at a rapid rate. There were 10 different shipyards. Before the war, a Gleaves-class destroyer was built in about a year and a half. When we really cranked up, we were turning out Fletcher class destroyers about every 3 months.
Wow, amazing.
So we built 175 Fletchers in the same time that the Japanese.
We got to go to break. We got more from Clint Johnson after this. Stay with us.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. That's 800-915-9164.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life.
I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
If you want to know how far the love can go, just how deep, just how wide. If you want to see how much you mean to me, look at my head, look at my side. If you can count.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez live.
If you want.
Hey, it's the way you like us, fresh and independent, and a little bit ornery here and there, you know, just to keep us on our toes. Why not? It's 14 minutes before the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez. Clint Johnson continues with us. We're talking about his brand new book, Tin Cans and Greyhounds, The Destroyers That Won Two World Wars. The book was just released, available at all the usual places. And, of course, we're going to link it on our website as well at BillMartinezLive.com. Tin Cans and Greyhounds is an action-packed narrative that gives us, the readers, a fresh perspective of the fight for victory in World War II through the portholes of the destroyers that won the war. Nicknamed Tin Cans for their thin metal hulls that enabled them to swiftly navigate the seas to earn their other moniker, Greyhounds, these ships were dangerous to man but vital to victory. Life on a destroyer required men to fight battles against overwhelming odds from which survival could not be expected, as World War II Rear Admiral Robert Copeland put it. Clint, the incredible courage that it took for these men that were assigned to these tin cans. Boy, this is a different breed of American, is it not?
Well, they were, I ran across a quote that's saying, we took these young men who are making our sodas and shining our shoes and delivering our newspapers, all jobs that don't exist anymore, when they were 18 years old, and put them to sea and put them to work. And the harder they worked, the more they loved it, the more danger they were in, the more they loved it. That's that's a quote from an admiral who was also a commander on a destroyer. And he nailed it, that these were young men that wanted adventure, they wanted to work. And I ran across another quote that the man said, that my men were nervous until the Japanese started shooting at them, and then it focused them. And he said that until that time, they worried about what was going to happen to them, but when they got into combat, it settled them down, and they knew they had to do their job to survive. So it's something about that pressure that comes out in all of us when we're under fire. And these were all young men, and there were no women in the combat forces of the Navy at that time.
Exactly.
We were talking about production of destroyers before. If you're
hang on just a minute. If we can only, I want to interject this, because what you just shared with us, it was very consistent with our previous guest, Mark Hancock, in talking about the designs of boys and men, and adventure is key to this. And this is something that is being lost in translation at the expense of the future men of America, and we need to bring that back. So this is very good that we're reliving this, and you are repeating what history has been teaching us that we've been ignoring at the expense of this next generation of young men that are coming up, and that is their design for adventure. They're designed for hard work. I mean, we love it, and men, we're happiest when we are productive, and I believe this is what we recently went through in this country for 8 years when the boot of regulation government was on the throat of American productivity. You take that boot off and look what happens. I mean, we're hitting, 3+ GDP that they said we would never hit. And if we could get all on the same page together, I think 5-6 GDP is very realistic, but we all have to realize, whose team we're on.
Exactly. As far as productivity, if your ancestor was declared 4F and couldn't go fight, he more than likely worked in production.
Yes.
And it was the American people at home who produced the destroyers and the tanks and the airplanes that we sent over to the fighting men that really won the war. Mm-hmm. And whenever I started researching, it was just amazing how quickly we could produce these destroyers. We produced 175 Fletchers in the same time the Japanese produced 19 Ugomo class, which is essentially a comparable class. The Japanese could not keep up with us for production, and by the end of 1942, we could see that attrition was going to be on our side, and we would win in the Pacific. We were still hard fighting in 1942, but the Japanese were just being overwhelmed with the number of ships, particularly destroyers, that were coming over there to fight them.
Yeah, they had to see, even though they were very committed to their emperor, that they were losing, and this was a losing cause for them, because they didn't realize what they had woken up. And, American ingenuity and in production and commitment to the war effort. And as you said, very interestingly, how those who couldn't go overseas to serve found a way to serve here domestically. And this is all part and parcel of the greatest generation, is that we all saw it as one united to protect American interest.
I interviewed a sailor that's now in a nursing home in Oklahoma. He's 95 now, and he was 18 when I talked to him, and he said, yeah, we were scared of the weather mostly, and we were scared of dying, but then whenever the action came along, we were all a big family. We took care of each other, and we were sailors, and we knew we had a job to do, and that was consistent when you read about these men of what they did. So we had a job to do, and we loved each other, and we saved each other if we got into trouble. And these destroyers would go into harm's way to pick men off of aircraft carriers, hundreds of men they did not know, but they risked their own lives to save these fellow sailors when their ship was going down, which was another purpose for the destroyer, was being able to pick up other shipwrecked sailors, shipwrecked or shot down airmen.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that was going to be my next question, was the dangers. You know, what other dangers were they faced with? I mean, as you say, they were kind of the utility boat, in a sense, on the waters. You know, it wasn't like you went in for just one assignment. It seemed like their assignments were multiple.
Right, and the dangers they faced are the kind of a ironic thing is the very first destroyer we lost in World War II and the last destroyer we lost in World War II in the Atlantic were both sunk in heavy weather. There is a destroyer that's still off between the Bahamas and Florida that was sunk in an unexpected hurricane, and only a handful of their men were ever found. The ship just disappeared. All the bulkheads were crashed in, according to a handful of survivors that came through there. So you face the enemy, but the weather was always there. The heat was always there. If you can imagine being in a ship that's not air-conditioned in the South Pacific in August.
Wow.
But the only thing these fellows had going for them is cooks. If you were a sailor, you had the best food in the service, and that was about the best thing you had going for you.
They probably hoped they had a can opener there that they could open up the side a little bit and and maybe capture a bit of the trade winds coming through.
I ran across an account of a destroyer that was took on a Japanese cruiser in the Aleutian Islands, and they survived. The cruiser turned around and left, but the American sailors were very irritated with the Japanese because a cruiser shell destroyed their galley, and they had to eat was cold sandwiches, and they destroyed their coffee maker, and they wanted coffee whenever you're cruising around Alaska. So that was the thing that irritated them most. Not getting shot at by the Japanese, but the Japanese destroyed their galley.
Of all things, you shoot up the coffee maker. Give us a break here. There should be some things that are respected here in the war zone, right?
Right.
That's so funny. I love, you know, these human stories in the midst of, as you would say, you know, combat that these young men, you know, the fear in anticipation. But in the battle, it was like, okay, time to focus and be about your job, protecting one another. And those fears are subsided as they battle on. This is incredible. These stories that are here in your book, Tin Cans and Greyhounds, Clint. Of all the stories, and I imagine this has to be tough, what story sticks out most that you wrote about in the book?
Well, the Battle of Samar, which is in the Philippines, October 1944, a large Japanese fleet essentially surprised the Americans. They thought they'd defeated this fleet, and it turned around and came back on them. We did not know that they were even anywhere near until they were only less than 20 miles away. Mm-hmm. And the only thing standing between the Japanese fleet, which included cruisers and battleships and escort carriers and the landing fleet, was just a small force of three destroyers and three destroyer escorts. And that's where that quote says, "We do not expect to survive the superior Japanese fleet coming at us." So these destroyers, destroyer escorts, which is essentially a smaller version of the destroyer, charged head on into this fleet of battleships and cruisers without hesitation, firing their torpedoes, firing the little 5-inch guns against 14-inch guns that the Japanese had. And it so surprised the Japanese that it broke up their formation, and their admiral says, if these little guys are attacking us, there must be something bigger behind them. Let's turn around and leave.
Mm.
And we lost two destroyers, destroyer escort, in that engagement. It only lasted about 4 hours, I think.
Mm.
But it was just pure audacity of these sailors to attack a much larger fleet. I think the Japanese had 15 destroyers to the three destroyers and three destroyer escorts we had.
Right.
These men did not hesitate. They went forward and they attacked. And the Japanese so respected that as one ship was sinking, the Japanese admiral ordered his men to the side of the ship, and they saluted the men in the water and the ship that was sinking. That was a USS Johnston. And so can you imagine, you were the Japanese, we consider fierce enemies, saluted us.
What a great story. That and many others in his book, Tin Cans and Greyhounds, are the destroyers that won two world wars. Clint Johnson has been with us. Clint, thank you so much. All the best to you, and we're going to link the book on our website so that everybody knows how to get their hands on it. This is terrific reading and terrific writing and researching. Thank you, Clint. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
You got it.
Hello. I am looking for a special soul from the GCN audience to hire to come to East Ridge, Tennessee and take care of two peaceful, easygoing people, which are a sweet 95-year-old woman and her 60-year-old son. Terms would be free room and board, plus the use of all of our facilities here at home, in exchange for living with us and seeing to our needs. We must have someone that fits in well. We get along with most anybody and value those who like to do the same. We live in a suburb of the scenic city of Chattanooga, Tennessee. Please email Matt at peaceaboveall.net for additional information. Please include your informal resume stating your strengths and weaknesses and reasons you would make a dedicated caregiver. We would also offer to negotiate a nominal salary in addition to everything else. Again, please email M-A-T-T at peaceaboveall.net. Thanks for responding.
Looking.